Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Mike Riley, the big news and the lead story in our mind, we are going frickin' national, man. Sometime in July, Beasley Media, our parent company, is going to start a national podcast channel, and we are going to be on it, which is pretty exciting for all of us. And us being me and you.
Yes. Well, you know what? The rest of the Beasley Media Group and the rest of the nation, they are in for a big treat, Jimmy, because, yes, as everyone knows here in the Boston and New England area, we are very passionate about wrestling. We bring that to a weekly level to the listeners each week, and we thank all of you for listening. So now we are excited. Perfect timing in the month of July for our nation's birthday, and that, Jimmy, deserves a Sarge salute right there. There you go.
Well, Mike, I have to give you 100% of the credit for this. You're the one who pushed for this, and you're the one who gets and deserves the credit for us having a regular podcast. So,
thank you, Jimmy. This couldn't do it without you, man.
Well, you couldn't because I'm the full-time employee.
What is this, the Mutual Admiration Society here?
Something like that. I'm just trying to be polite.
That's very good.
Which is hard for me to do. It's just my natural nature. What can I say? So
it's funny, though. Rubs off is funny.
I've got some thoughts on Brock Lesnar coming up. I'm not sure what to call this. It's either a nugget of news or a prediction, or I don't know what it is, but it relates to CM Punk. So we'll get to that a little bit later on, but I know you've got a burning hot blue flame take on Monday Night Raw, or the state of wrestling right now. State of WWE, Raw. I should say.
Yep. You know, Jimmy, I got to tell you, like last year after WrestleMania, it just seemed like the company was going in a decent direction, you know, almost a full year with the brand split. 2 years ago, I thought was 20 times better. With the whole new revolution or the new generation, whatever they called it there, new era, excuse me, that's the exact term, new era. And it just seemed like it really was a new era. And then, yes, the brand split came in the summer. So very exciting time. But holy cow, this has got to be the worst WrestleMania hangover I can think of in a long time. I got to dig back into this one because the greatest Royal Rumble, it was built up as a 50-man Royal Rumble there. And, you know, the Steel Cage match there with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns rematch. Undertaker even appeared. Since then, what a joke the product has been for the WWE. And it's a shame for the fans who are paying each week to see this here going out to arenas. They've been robbed. It has not been a good product. We saw it a month ago at Backlash. And they're going to need a major resurrection at Money in the Bank in 2 weeks. And that hopefully that will put them back on the map here and cure this hangover because it has not been good since April 8th in my book.
So, Mike, I tend to agree with you on this. And aside from Seth Rollins, who's been the MVP for WWE all year as far as the Raw brand is concerned, here's a little bit more detail on how lacking Raw has been. Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn might be having the worst feud in WWE history. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
It's probably up there.
Are Sasha Banks and Bayley friends, or are they still feuding?
Yep.
Because this feels like this has been dragging on for a long time, and really too long. And I appreciate a good slow burn, but I'm just not interested in it.
Make a move.
Did you see the graphic that they put up for the Tag Team Royal Rumble?
It's terrible. Terrible.
And I texted you this. It is suck, 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 suck. Seven sucks. Seven suck bag teams. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. And I love Matt Hardy, and I love what he's doing with Bray Wyatt. But that tag division, it needs a complete reboot because it is terrible with those teams. Are you interested in Ronda Rousey right now? Because
no.
I'm not, and she didn't seem like she was interested in being on the commentary table. And there's a bigger picture question with Ronda that I want to get to later, but from this particular episode of Raw, Ronda didn't seem like she wanted to be there.
No.
And you should be a little concerned for the match at Money in the Bank, because Natty Neidhart, who is one of the top women's wrestlers in the world, mm-hmm. when she has the time to tell the story, her and Nia had a 7-minute match that wasn't very good.
No.
And that should be concerning when Natty can't have a good match with Nia Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I was toes up sleeping before Kevin Owens and Finn Balor hit the ring. And those are two of my favorite performers, but it didn't interest me to stay up and watch them, because I know they've had better matches in NXT, and Raw isn't necessarily the best forum for them to showcase their abilities and their match skills. I mean, they had a great ladder match at NXT Brooklyn a few years ago, and Kevin Owens is sneaky king of the ladder match. If you go through his history of ladder wars and things on the indie circuit, Kevin Owens is just the king of that. So it's not the Monday Night Wars era right now. And this product is lacking, and they just got a ton of money, which was a concern of mine the last time we talked, that they might mail it in for a little bit. But I'm concerned that the week to week product is suffering, and this hangover that you speak of is 100% true.
Yeah, and it's almost like a victim of their own success. And another thing too, Jimmy, here, with Roman Reigns, a guy who they pushed for such a long time, you know, he's going to be fighting your boy, Jinder Mahal, at the Money in the Bank. If you are not a Roman Reigns fan, I mean, I'm not holding my breath on this by any means, but if you are not a Roman Reigns fan, I think you're going to get a treat here, because it looks like that will not be the main event of Money in the Bank. Again, I'm holding my breath because I would not be shocked if that is. So I'm putting my money on it, though, now that it's not going to be main event. And maybe that's a sign of the things to come where, we're starting to realize that he is not our main event guy, and we're actually going to listen to the crowd a little bit here. But again, I know you're going to talk about it here at Brock Lesnar. Where the hell is the champion? If you are the champion, you should be on TV as much as possible defending the title. Inexcusable. That should be defended every single pay-per-view, and without a question, show the pride. I know the storyline there. Show the pride in being the champion. Put it up for grabs. Challenge someone. Put someone else over. Bring Brock back. You're paying him all this money. It's a joke. It's really, really disappointing.
Well, it's one of the bigger questions I have about Raw right now is, what is missing from Raw? And for me, it's kind of two things. One is Brock Lesnar, which I'll have a little bit more detail on in a second. But the first thing I have on my list is, what wrestler / superstar are you emotionally invested in?
On Raw.
On Raw. Just on Raw.
I really, to be honest with you, I don't really have anyone.
Because on SmackDown, for me, it's Samoa Joe. It's Daniel Bryan. I like Big Cass. I like Becky Lynch. I like Charlotte. Those are personal favorites. The tag team division on SmackDown is awesome. And The Miz, well, except for his Cavaliers fandom, everything he touches turns to awesome. So that's my emotional investment in SmackDown.
I'm with you on all that. And then AJ Styles. I love AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, phenomenal, pun intended.
Yep.
Who am I emotionally invested in on Raw? Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. Love those guys. I think they're fabulous. I still think Kevin Owens is the best performer all around in the company. I like Braun Strowman. I like Seth Rollins. I like Roman. But I'm not emotionally invested in their wins and losses or even their stories. I like Elias.
Right.
But as far as where they're going, there's nothing really that motivates me to be interested in their programs or their matches or their wins or their losses. So what are the stakes? Seth Rollins, he's not losing that Intercontinental Championship anytime soon. It doesn't look like.
And he shouldn't.
Totally agree. If there was a chance, it's Finn Balor, and that's down the road, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. So it leads me to point two, and that is, where is Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
And who is a legit challenger to the Universal Championship? I want to read this from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, if I can read this week. As of right now, the plan for Lesnar's next Universal title match is SummerSlam on August 19th in Brooklyn. We being the Wrestling Observer newsletter, pronouns pal, we are told that Lesnar is tentatively headlining that show, but that is not locked in stone. For Lesnar Watch, the key is whether he applies to be put back in the USADA testing pool for UFC by June 30th. If he does not, then he's staying with WWE. If he does, there's a better chance he would be leaving and starting back in UFC on the New Year's weekend show. Of course, with both companies cash rich, his timing of being about to be a free agent once again while still holding the Universal Championship and the ability to play off one side off the other is the best it's ever been. So that's your Brock Lesnar. That's your number one draw. That is your highest paid wrestler superstar right now. And you don't even know if you have him for SummerSlam.
And he's a part-timer.
According to Meltzer.
Yep, and that's a part-timer right there. So what the heck is wrong with that picture? Again, like I said, he should be defending that title every month. And you should be on TV a lot more. They've done this before, and they're doing it again, where he was a champion for a while, and you know he didn't show up for a good 3-4 months. It's really, it's almost that title is forgotten about now. It really is. And Brock Lesnar, yeah, you know he's around, or he's, you know, he is still idle with us, but come on, bring him out onto TV, or get the heck out of the company if you're not going to defend the title as much as you should, and give it to someone else that deserves it. It's really disappointing.
Or at least have Paul Heyman cut promos for him if he's not going to be there.
Talk him up. Yeah, talk him up.
But it leads me to the question, what are the stakes and who beats Brock Lesnar? And if you listen to the Raw commentary from Monday night, it feels like it's going to be Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Which is a terrible idea, because if you thought the New Orleans crowd was bad, it's in Brooklyn, New York. New York will be much worse than New Orleans.
20 times worse.
And I still love the violence of that New Orleans match. It wasn't better than their San Francisco match at 31, but it was still a good, violent match. I want to bring up a point that Brian Alvarez, tried in English, James, brought up on the Wrestling Observer Live audio show. He said, fly Brock Lesnar to every show that Roman is on, and the show that Roman gets cheered, that's the night that WWE flips the championship. And they've got the cash to do it.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I'm okay with that. But all this stuff here, we're bashing Raw right now. It just goes to prove to you why SmackDown is the much better show. For obvious reasons, 2 hours. You have a champion each week. And yes, Jimmy, I'm with you. I am heavily invested both interest and emotionally with the wrestlers on SmackDown. You know, I know you did ask me about the Raw ones there, but I like Finn Balor. I like Seth Rollins. I like Kevin Owens. You know, I even like Natty. I really like her, but I'm not like super invested in all of them as I am with the SmackDown ones. And that's the major problem here with Raw. I can't think of really anybody that has to, you know, force themselves to watch 3 hours of Raw. It's almost like watching a baseball game at this point, Jimmy. No one sits in front of their TV for a full 9-inning game, where Raw, you might just stick around, watch the first 10 minutes, then you go back to it. SmackDown, you're glued to it for a full 2 hours because it's consistent, it's good, and yes, it is quick. And it's top talent right there. And that is what is missing with Raw right now. They're missing that big two-letter word, it. They're missing that it, and we don't know what it is.
Line drive, base hit up the middle for Jackie Bradley Jr. Of course, JBJ, who seems to be coming out of his slump right now. Sorry, you were talking about somebody who doesn't watch baseball all 3 hours. I actually try my best to, but I understand your point. It's a struggle to watch Raw. And as I mentioned, I was toes up before. Two of my favorite performers were in the main event of the show, because I think that I've seen them do better matches, and the Raw television show isn't exactly the best.
I mean, to quote Dan Shaughnessy, I'd almost rather stick needles in my eyes.
So, Mike, who beats Brock Lesnar?
Okay, well, I think the... Okay. It should be Braun Strowman. It really should. And I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean,
because he doesn't need the championship.
It doesn't matter. Give it to him. Put it on him. He's so over right now. And he has got the size. Just put it on him. That's the guy that deserves it. He's going to carry you without Brock Lesnar. And I think that could be the actual passing of the torch here for the guy to do it without Brock Lesnar in the long run here. Give it to Braun Strowman right now, like immediately. Like I'm talking now.
So I've assumed that it's Bobby Lashley.
Why?
Because he's got the background, he's got the UFC MMA background. Size wise he matches up with Brock very well.
Well,
and they kind of have him in a cooler program right now with Sami Zayn, which I say.
Are you being serious?
I'm being very serious.
He's got a cooler program with Sami Zayn?
Cooler meaning it's on ice.
Oh, okay.
To explain what the term cooler program is, it's a term that I just made up on the spot. And it just means that it's something to keep him on television, but not put stink on him or put a rocket on him.
All right,
So in other words, analogy, right? So Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte have a match in Dallas. They take Sasha Banks out of the women's championship picture until around SummerSlam, where then she gets heated up into a program with Charlotte. And then Charlotte and Sasha exchange the title from maybe early August to about December.
Okay.
And then they put Sasha back on the cooler for a little bit. Makes sense. And then.
Gotcha. 10-4.
I think that makes sense, but he's in a terrible program with Sami Zayn, which I'm just calling a cooler program.
Yeah. Understood.
As in Adrian Gonzalez, the cooler, like, you know, just background.
Touche.
So I've assumed it's Bobby Lashley based on look and a whole bunch of other things, because over the last 430 something days, and that number is significant, by the way, because Brock's about to pass that 434 number that CM Punk put together on his championship reign. So he beat Goldberg to win the title in Orlando. We were there. He's beaten Samoa Joe multiple times. He's beaten Roman Reigns multiple times. He's beaten Braun Strowman in a one-on-one match at No Mercy last year, and also in three ways at the Rumble, most notably, I think, in house shows with Kane involved as well.
And if you remember the Braun Strowman one, that's where he really pissed off Brock Lesnar. Remember that?
Exactly. It was tremendous. Braun was also in the four-way SummerSlam match where it was Joe, Roman, and Strowman, where Brock pinned Roman Reigns in that match.
Yep.
So I have an idea for the guy who beats Brock Lesnar.
Okay, so Bobby Lashley, what do you got? All right, let me hear it.
So Bobby Lashley, I felt like, is the guy based on commentary on Raw. I feel like it's Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. But here's an alternative idea for you.
Okay.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, but he is on Raw.
Right? Work with me on the logic here.
All right, let me hear it.
Jinder's a former WWE champion, the 50th of all time, for those who keep score of those things, and I do. He's somebody that the crowd legitimately hates.
Okay.
More importantly, in the eyes of Vince McMahon, he's 6'5", he's 270, and he looks like somebody who can beat Brock Lesnar, and he looks like a champion.
Okay.
And what that does is it gets the championship off of Brock Lesnar, and when it comes time to put it on Roman, the fans are going to be more accepting of Roman Reigns being the champion as Jinder Mahal. So it's an idea to use Jinder Mahal as a transitional champion.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I could totally see that. And Jinder Mahal was a champion last year, right around this time, more or less. Now, you know, Bobby Lashley, back to your point, what you were saying before, I'm kind of more bought into your original theory with Lashley getting it over Mahal. Now, not taking anything away from Jinder Mahal to getting the title, but I don't think he'd be the guy to take it off of Brock Lesnar right away. And that's why I'm sticking with my original guy, Braun Strowman, because he's already been in the ring with him. He's got the size. And you know that I think you could – maybe this is what WWE wants us to do. Look what they've done to me. They are legitimately pissing me off by not having Brock Lesnar there. And I don't know. Hopefully I speak for other fans around the world too by him not defending the title each week. So maybe that's what they want. And if that's the case, you have a guy like Braun Strowman who is, again, white hot right now with the crowd, size, persona, and you know he'd be a great champion, and that's why I think he should be the guy to take it off of Brock Lesnar come SummerSlam. That'd be a monstrous match.
Mike, name me Braun Strowman's best promo.
I can't think of it.
This is the problem. They're a promo company. That's the problem.
What's Jinder Mahal's best promo?
Have you seen the heat that he garnered last year as WWE champion?
He did get killed on it, but yeah, all right.
I mean, to the point where the fans chanted at him, you went too far.
What's Bobby Lashley's?
He doesn't have one.
Okay, so maybe you may have just proved yourself that Jinder Mahal will be the guy instead of Lashley.
Exactly, but that's kind of the thing, because at least Brock Lesnar has Paul Heyman.
He's got Paul Heyman, but Strowman can get the crowd behind him. You know that. And look what he did at WrestleMania.
And by the way, Mike, this might be one of the problems that they have is they don't have somebody to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out. Would you give it to a guy like Kevin Owens again?
I love Kevin Owens. I we'll get into this more when we do Money in the Bank stuff.
Because he can cut a promo. We know that.
I would put Kevin Owens over Brock Lesnar in a heartbeat, but I don't think they would.
I would too, but I don't think they want that. I'm just thinking out loud, like the best guys on Raw that can cut promos right now. Probably the top guys are Kevin Owens. We saw a little bit of Finn Balor a couple of weeks ago. He actually cut a promo.
But you have to – so I think they pushed it in their mind. Wow, it just popped really badly. I think they pushed it really badly with – I'm not wording that rightly – so when they did Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, I think in their mind they pushed the believability of an AJ Styles in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
Yes, which actually turned out to be a decent match.
Which is an awesome match. I mean, AJ can work with a broomstick and have a great match. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind on that one.
Yep.
So Jinder Mahal, transitional champion, is the idea that I've come up with.
I could see that. However, though, I mean, I'm not going to do it at SummerSlam. I think you need that big splash, and that's the time there. And then see you later, Brock. Go into the sunset.
I just hope for WWE's sake that they have Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Oh, I do too.
Because you need him. Meltzer is saying it's tentative. They're not sure. Like, that's not really what you're looking for.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully, I don't know. There's so many scenarios that could happen if he doesn't show up, but you do need him there. He is the draw, and in New York, Brock Lesnar is the guy. I think he will be there. I really do.
So the most interesting story to me in wrestling right now is the CM Punk trial results, which came out as we're recording this on Tuesday night. And I'll read from Meltzer. The jury case in the... let's try that again. At some point, Mike, I'll learn how to read during this podcast, or maybe it's Meltzer who can't write. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's probably the latter.
So the jury in the case of the WWE doctor... Christopher Amon versus Phil Brooks, CM Punk, and Scott Colton, Colt Cabana, ruled that neither man were liable for any damages against the WWE physician in a defamation lawsuit. The jury took 2 hours to deliberate. Punk and AJ Lee began crying in the court when the verdict was read. Amon was stoic. Amon's attorneys were asking for almost $4 million in damages, claiming $1 for every listener of the Art of Wrestling podcast that the Punk show supposedly had. By the way, I would have been more than happy to contribute my dollar to the Punk law team. Punk's attorney noted that WWE medical records were not reliable because they never listed any of Punk's antibiotic prescriptions, and that the plaintiff's argument from WWE doctors that there was no lump was ridiculous, given four witnesses coming forward who described it in detail besides Punk. The key to the case appeared to be the testimony of Punk's massage therapist, who described the lump in detail, and of his wife, who said she started noticing a zit-like size in August 2013, and it grew and changed colors over the month. While there was no proof of the lump, the lump was a staph infection, let alone immerse his staff, as Punk had stated on the show. The jury evidently felt that Punk either misheard the doctor or of not, his exaggeration did not damage Amon's professional standing. So this to me was interesting because that podcast is one of my favorite podcasts of all time, all 4 hours of it. Yeah. I think I listened to it twice on Thanksgiving morning when it dropped. Wow. And took notes and wanted to do an emergency podcast then before doing podcasts was cool for me or interesting to me.
Sure.
So the verdict is a win for Punk and Colt Cabana.
And they don't have to pay anything.
Exactly. They just have to pay lawyers' fees and all that stuff. But they beat the WWE, which I kind of dig from a weird point of view because I'm a CM Punk fan and I kind of feel that his story is close enough to the truth. And I think he said a lot of things on those podcasts that a lot of wrestlers would like to say. But you choose to work there. So you get,
they're failed their rules.
Right. So this leads me to my, I don't know if it's a hot take. I don't know if it's a nugget. I don't know what it is. So I'm just going to present it to you. So I was talking to somebody in the wrestling world, and he or she suggested to me that if CM Punk has a bad showing at UFC, he's fighting on Saturday at UFC, he might pull out of his signing in Chicago, and that Punk really wants nothing to do with All In on September 1st.
Yeah.
So that blew me away.
You've been teasing this for a while, by the way.
What's that?
You've been kind of silently teasing that for a while, if people have been listening carefully for that. But keep going. I'm sorry.
So when somebody else kind of said it or insinuated it, it kind of blew me away.
Sure.
But it goes back to what we all think as fans and really hope that the last image of CM Punk in a wrestling ring isn't from the 2014 Royal Rumble.
Right.
But really, if he doesn't do All In and he doesn't do well at UFC in Chicago, other than Chicago Comic Con and Blackhawks games, the wrestling fan might never see CM Punk perform in a ring again. And that thought is of me as a fan, that disappoints me. You know, maybe New Japan can pay a boatload of money for him to work Wrestle Kingdom, but that, as a CM Punk fan, and CM Punk is one of my all-time favorites, that disappoints me. I ran this CM Punk theory by another person in the wrestling world. This person said, quote, "I have no idea where Punk's head is at these days. He's nuts."
Wow.
So I took as a very strong indication that the first individual that I talked to might be onto something with this. Because the second person who I know, these two people don't know each other. Well, I shouldn't say that. They know each other. I know that they don't like each other. I think that's safe to say. So it is two completely different perspectives on this.
So one said he's nuts, and what did the other one say?
The other one had the theory that, where is it? I want to make sure I get the theory right. That Punk, if Punk had a bad showing at UFC, he might pull out of his signing in Chicago. And he really wants nothing to do with the All In show September 1st.
Okay. So a couple things to think of, if you don't mind what I'm hearing from this, Jimmy. So Money in the Bank, by the way, is in Chicago next week. I'm not ruling anything out on that there. But
there's no chance he shows up in a WWE ring. No chance.
Right. But what I was going to get to was that you're going to hear a ton of CM Punk chants at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view next week. Just get ready for that. Like it always is every time in Chicago. He just beat the company. He will not show up. We know that. But if they're saying he's nuts, I'm going to go on that perspective there. He's just doing everything he can, it seems like. At this point, it's an ego situation. You've been out of the company for, 4 years now? A little over four? And now you're in the UFC. He just wants to be the last man standing. That's all it is.
I mean,
that's,
I think we're closing in on the anniversary of him getting fired, which is his wedding day, which is kind of screwed up.
It's bad. And again, an ego thing just to hit him where it hurts. So semi-nuts, yes, or whatever is going through his head, we don't know. I just don't think that he will. His mind is in a different place right now. And that's what I'm just reading from in here, especially hearing from your sources as well. I'm going to go with that assumption. What do you got?
So I've been a CM Punk the Wrestler fan for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've had a handful of interactions with him in person, and he's been first class with me.
Yep.
And I first saw CM Punk at an armory in Cambridge, okay, Massachusetts, while I was working for Ring of Honor. He did an interview at the Rock Station down the hall from my former sports station of employment, and I got to meet with him and talk with him for a few minutes. I was friends with some Ring of Honor people and the local promoter for Ring of Honor, so I get to see him wrestle Raven in a cage match at Wakefield High School.
Yep.
And fast forward to a few years where I got to be part of an interview with him on Toucher and Rich when he was the champion. Or
right,
if he wasn't the champion, he had just lost it. But I think he was the champion, which maybe I'll upload one of these days. I still have it. And I got to see him defend the WWE Championship in Miami against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 28, which is one of my favorite WrestleMania matches and one of my favorite WrestleMania shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I would consider that CM Punk-John Cena match at Money in the Bank in Chicago one of the best matches in WWE history. And I'm a CM Punk fanboy, so I kind of want to see him win in court, and I want to see him back in the ring, and I want to see him perform, because I feel like I got gypped out of more years of CM Punk.
Yep.
And I hope he wins in Chicago at UFC. And I hope we get to see him at All In, and I hope to get to see him in New Japan. I hope to see him, the performer, more, but I just have this concern that now that he's won his case, and we'll see what happens at UFC, that might be the end of CM Punk, except, you know, at Blackhawks games or Comic-Con or whatever. So
being a regular human Joe Schmo, more or less.
You know, going to Starbucks and, you know, getting whatever it is that he drinks, or, you know, Dunkin' or whatever.
Yep.
You know, I can't yell at him from across the street saying, "I bought your house."
I mean, you know, I've always respected CM Punk. I really have, especially the microphone skills, out of this world. One of the maybe top five microphone guy, Jimmy, that I've ever seen. However, you know, I liked him as a wrestler. He was never one of my favorites as a wrestler, but again, respect the hell out of him. I know a lot of people like yourself really enjoyed his work in the ring, and, you know, especially his microphone skills. So yeah, in the end, I think fans were gypped. You know, they really were. He left in the sour note, and
he never got his WrestleMania main event. And I think that's probably what has me as emotional as I am. Like when Mick Foley, for those who don't know, Mick Foley is my all-time favorite wrestler. His career originally ended in Hartford, Connecticut, which, gross. Your career ends in Hartford, Connecticut. That's disgusting. And then he got added to the four-way at WrestleMania 2000, and he got his WrestleMania main event. But I think he should have been in that New Orleans main event 30. Daniel Bryan got that because that was his year. Maybe 29 should have been the year of Punk. Somewhere in there, he should have been the last match of WrestleMania. And I love that Chris Jericho CM Punk match at 28 in Miami, but it gets overshadowed because of Triple H, Undertaker, Rock, Cena. There were just other things on that show that overshadowed it.
Too much going on.
And that's the unfortunate thing. So,
and I totally forgot about that match at WrestleMania 28 because exactly those two matches are the Hell in the Cell. And yeah, the Rock and John Cena right there, no doubt. You know, he did fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. We know that. Great match, too.
And should have been paid like it was a main event match, and it should have gone on last. But
Yep. And, you know, CM Punk also, when he was the champion, he had that stupid spinner belt. So he actually could have put a little christening on the strawberry daiquiri belt if he were to still be in the company today, which I think he'd be a great one for the Universal title or even the WWE Championship on SmackDown, if that were the case.
Mike, how do you think Ronda Rousey's been booked since WrestleMania?
Let's see, Jimmy. If I were to have one letter to describe it, that would be the letter F, failure. How about you?
Did she seem... So I think she's been booked poorly, but I think it is a slow burn for her to the top. which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
But when she goes out onto the Raw commentary table and seems disinterested, she shouldn't be in that spot.
I thought she was falling asleep.
She's getting a championship match at Money in the Bank, and I feel like that is just window dressing for turning Nia Jax into a villain and aligning Nia Jax with Stephanie McMahon. The big program is still Stephanie versus Ronda, and that's probably a one-on-one match at SummerSlam. And longer term, of course, I hope that it's Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania in New York. But I don't think she's been booked well. I guess I have higher expectations for Ronda and where she's going. But for her to have a championship opportunity, even if it is just to set up a match with Stephanie McMahon and to put Nia Jax on the villain side, it's poor booking. It's poor writing.
Yeah. It's really bad right now. And, you know, you look at that, just the whole thing with Raw right now, it seems like the what are they drinking in the water show? What's going on here? You know, everywhere you go, terrible booking, and that's right up there too. Ronda Rousey, you just totally forget that she's on that roster there, and the way they're doing it right now is just so bad. Disinterest all around, and I could see her beating Nia Jax. I could see it, Jimmy. Because Nia,
you think she'll beat? You think she'll beat Nia for the championship?
I don't. No. I said I could see it happening. I don't think she will, though. I could see it happening, but I don't think she will. And the reason I say that, I think that's where something happens between her and Natty, and you know, they'll turn on each other and feud. Maybe briefly going into SummerSlam, something's going to happen there. We'll talk about that in our Money in the Bank preview show.
Absolutely.
And be sure to follow Twitter at WrestleMania5. Okay.
Well, and we've kind of dumped on Raw for a little bit here, and you know, we both love SmackDown. Samoa Joe is a top three promo in the WWE. He's a favorite of mine, longtime favorite. Daniel Bryan is tremendous. Becky Lynch and Charlotte just had a fabulous match on SmackDown. Tag division, we've gone over. We love the tag division. The Miz, he's awesome. What other highlights from SmackDown did you want to get to, Mike?
Well, for this particular week too, Jimmy, I know you mentioned the Becky Lynch Charlotte match, and one thing I did notice, if you look at it carefully, Becky and Charlotte, they did have the sign of sportsmanship, shaking hands after that, and we do know that they are best friends in and out of the ring. But I think that there was like a silent tease, if you look carefully at it, where they could be feuding with each other very soon. And I know we've been talking about that for a long time with Sasha Banks and Bayley, for that matter, but it just really has not come to fruition. I could see that happening here because both Becky and Charlotte are in the Money in the Bank match. And I could totally see one of them costing each other the match right there, you know, turning their back on each other. And then that would set up a good feud going into SummerSlam for the next couple of months. And because they both work so well together in the ring, we know that. And they can work together. They got a good chemistry. So I think that is a on the radar for both of them to be going at each other over the next couple of months. So that's one of my takeaways.
And I love the fact that they're paired together in matches, because one of the things that actually amped up the women's division for me was Charlotte won the Divas Championship, and she had a program with Paige. She finished up with Nikki Bella. And then they told this really simple story of Becky Lynch and Charlotte. And it led into the WrestleMania match in Dallas, where they added Sasha Banks to the story.
Right.
And they were putting on really good matches, I thought, at the time, and telling a very simple story, week-to-week progression. So if you're telling me that Becky and Charlotte, only the difference is that Charlotte's going to be on the good side and Becky is going to be on the villain side, I'm all in for it. I love it.
Well, we
haven't seen Becky Lynch on the evil side of things.
We haven't,
which is ironic because before she got to WWE, she was on the dark side of everything.
She was, but here's the thing here. I don't know if the company would want that. And Charlotte, she can play the heel. And I remember Ric Flair even saying it in an interview a couple of months ago. He personally thought that Charlotte is a better heel than a face. So that could be some sort of a tease right there on its own, a foreshadow rather of Ric Flair saying that about his daughter. So I think it would be better for Charlotte to be the heel and Becky to be the face. But you like the other way.
I will take that matchup any way I can get it. But speaking of heels, Mike, who's been the best heel on SmackDown recently?
The best heel on SmackDown? I'm going to tell you right now, and the best one since WrestleMania, that would be Nakamura, Jimmy. And best move the WWE could have done was turn him heel with that low blow on AJ Styles. I mean, even The Miz. The Miz has been a good heel, too. Not taking anything away from him, but Nakamura, what they've done to his character, totally revamped it, made it interesting, too. Last year, coming in so hot, overrated, so this is the best thing they could do between he and AJ Styles, two of the best in-ring performers. Very happy that they turned him heel. That's what I got. How about you?
Best heel on SmackDown? I still go with The Miz, but I like what they've done with Nakamura, to back up your point. I will also tell you that I went back and I watched that AJ Nakamura WrestleMania match just independently of itself.
Right.
And it was a good match. So I've fallen down the New Japan World rabbit hole. So okay. This is what led me to this, is I wanted to go back and watch AJ versus Nakamura, which I did, They had a really good match. And then I watched their New Japan stuff. And I'm like, now I know why this match didn't live up to what I think other people had for standards.
Right.
There were two factors. One is, I think most of that New Orleans crowd saw their New Japan matches, mm-hmm. or at least they heard the legend of them, right?
Right.
And then your 4 hours, 4.5 hours into a wrestling show.
Just dragged.
And you're fried. You're just mentally and emotionally fried from all of what you've just seen, because WrestleMania was really good.
Yep.
So I would suggest to people to go back and watch that match, clear mind, and you'll find it was better than maybe you thought it was in the moment.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's just my advice for the listener.
I'm going to do that right after the show.
Which leads me to what I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
New Japan Pro Wrestling, Dominion.
Aha.
This card is awesome. This card is amazing.
Feed me.
First of all, New Japan World is $10. It's actually $10 in yen, or it's 10 yen, whatever it is. It showed up as $9.19 on my credit card bill, right?
Okay.
So the show begins at 3 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay. What, a Friday or Saturday?
It would be Sunday morning.
Okay, so Saturday going into Sunday.
Yes.
Okay,
so you're not going to wake up at 3 a.m. It's an on-demand service, so don't do that. I'm going to do. Wake up at 5 a.m. because you're going to want to see Will Ospreay fight for the IWGP Junior title.
Yep.
You're going to see Chris Jericho take on Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental title.
Ooh, good match.
And you're going to see the fourth match, which I teased on our last episode, of Okada versus Omega for the IWGP Championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, so if you order New Japan Pro, if you order New Japan World, you get it for a month, or you get it until the end of the month. So like if you were to go on there, Mike, today, June 6th is when most people will be listening to this.
Yep.
You sign up, you have it until, the last day of June is June 30th.
Right.
So in that time, go through and Google wrestlers that you know, Kenny Omega, and watch Omega Okada the first three matches.
Yep.
Google Hulk Hogan. You'll see some stuff from 1983 or Ric Flair. You'll see a lot of old stuff. You can watch AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura in a New Japan ring, and you can see how great that is. I watched a Finn Balor match, which was great. He was Prince... somebody's screaming at their podcast right now. You guys know who Finn Balor was in New Japan. I can't think of his name.
Back in New Japan?
Yes.
Here, I'll look it up right now. Keep going.
But do that. Fall down the New Japan rabbit hole for a month. But this show is awesome. It's tremendous. The Young Bucks are on it. They're fighting for the tag titles. But it's also a different style of wrestling. that is more...
Prince Devitt.
Prince Devitt, exactly. Thank you.
Yep.
I know people are screaming at their computer, their iPhone, their...
I got one phrase for them. Chill out, Girl Scout. Go ahead, Jimmy. Continue.
But this is the thing that I'm most looking forward to this weekend, is watching New Japan Pro Wrestling, because their in-ring style is fabulous.
Okay. Good stuff. Beautiful. And that'll be Saturday into Sunday morning.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get up at 3 a.m., go for it. But I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and watch those three matches live. And then I can go back and watch anything else before that, because it's the same as the WWE Network. High definition quality, all that stuff.
Well, it's even better for people that are just, you know, coming in from the bar on a late night, too. They can stay up for that if they're able to do that. Make it a marathon kind of night.
And what you can do, too, is if you Google New Japan Pro Wrestling Primer, you can find some other matches that are really good, and their history goes back to 1974, so there's plenty of stuff there to entertain you if you just fall through the rabbit hole.
Excellent. Good
so,
stuff.
Mike, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
You know, Jimmy, overall, the product, I think we're hopefully Money in the Bank will be a better show than what we had at Backlash last month. I think it's definitely going to be a better show. But it's time to rejuvenate the whole roster and the product for what we're being handed right now as fans. Hopefully we get Brock Lesnar back. One more thing, too, Jimmy. Just two quick things here on the Boston note, if you don't mind. It was announced this week that NXT is returning to Lowell at the end of August. That's going to be a good show. And did you see who's going to be throwing out the first pitch at Fenway?
Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston, Boston College's own. He'll be there for that wrestling night on July 11th, which is two nights after Raw at the TD Garden. So
that'll be at Fenway Park. And if I were a betting man, and I'm not, family history issue, long story, don't care. I think most of the SmackDown roster is going to be there.
I could see that. They're in Manchester at 4.
So if you're going to Fenway Park that night, get there early. I think they're going to do some signings. I think it's going to be the entire SmackDown roster that's going to be roaming around the ballpark. That's just...
Yeah, that's a good ticket to go to.
That's what I think. So to give you guys an idea, we're going to do Money in the Bank the week of June 11th. We'll do some of our thoughts on the show, who wins the cases. Maybe we'll talk about kind of our favorite Money in the Bank matches and moments. You heard one of my favorite matches with John Cena and CM Punk, and we'll do a ladder match, something like that. I mean, Money in the Bank has 10 matches on it right now.
Yeah, and now we're looking at another 4-hour pay-per-view.
It might be longer.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's also Father's Day, too.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother wow. thing. I will tell you, if it was in Boston, I'd bring my dad to the show, but you know that would be his Father's Day gift.
Sure.
So I promised my friend Lauren that I would give her a mention, specifically her promotion. It's New England All-Star Wrestling, which is featuring local wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Their Twitter account is at NEAS Wrestling. They have a show Saturday, June 16th. It's from 2 to 7 p.m., and it's not really that long. They're going to space it out over the course of that time. It's at the Starland Sportsplex, which is in Hanover, Mass. That's 645 Washington Street in Hanover. And you can get more information at starlandsports.com.
And Jimmy, we'll even tweet it out on our account at WrestleCast985 to help him put over some of the work on that, too. So check us out there on Twitter at WrestleCast95, and we'll put all that information out there for that show coming up on the 16th of June.
For Mike Riley at Sarge985, I am James Stewart at I am James Stewart on Twitter. On Twitter. That's starting
Twitter.
To sound bad. I'm James Stewart at I am James Stewart. And as Gordon Solie would say, so long from the Sunshine State.